Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. And I don't know, this will either be a blessing or won't be. Thank you, amen. We're going to talk about doing His will. Well, I guess it wasn't a blessing. I'm going to preach it anyway. Doing His will, amen. And we're just going to start here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. The Bible said, this is in reference to Jesus, and it said, then said I, this is what Jesus, referring to Him, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. How many know Jesus is our example, isn't He? I said He's our example, amen. And he said more than here, but you know, John, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he was going through all that turmoil, the Bible says that he sweat as it were great drops of blood. Can you imagine being under such intense pressure that you bleed blood? You sweat blood. None of us have ever been on that. And I've done a little research on that, and there's a name for it, but since I can't even pronounce names that you use every day, I'll leave it alone. But there's a medical name for it. It actually has happened with people under great stress where they've sweat blood. Of course, Jesus was carrying and bearing the weight of the world. He was getting ready to go to Calvary and be crucified. And how many know your flesh, how many know Jesus was God, is God, always will be God, but He took on human flesh. And flesh is flesh. And flesh doesn't like suffering. Amen. Flesh doesn't like suffering. And so His flesh recoiled at the thought of everything that He knew was going to happen. The suffering, the betrayal by one of His own disciples, the separation from His Father. He'd never known that. All the things that were going to take place, His flesh recoiled at it. And He prayed a prayer. In Gethsemane, he prayed three times and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But how many are glad He didn't stop right there? You better be glad. Because He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Might be Luke's gospel, records it that He said, if it's possible, if you can find a way, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But how many, it wasn't possible. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How many, He's our example. How many know that? So as believers, this is going to be exhortation today, but as believers, we should not live our lives without any consideration of the will of God. We need to be concerned about the will of God. What's the will of God? Amen. I'm here standing in this city today because of the will of God. I didn't come here on my own. I didn't actually come because I wanted to come. I didn't come because I was looking for a place to preach. I had places to preach. I didn't have to be concerned about finding a building. I didn't have to be concerned about paying bills. I didn't have to be concerned about changing dirty diapers. No, I'm not talking about working in the nursery. I'm talking about spiritual diapers. I've never worked in the nursery and not planning on it. I didn't have any of that. But one day on a Thursday afternoon, the Lord said, I want you to pull aside. I got some things to talk to you about. In all honesty, before God, I'd never even dreamed He was going to tell me, I want you to start a church. I didn't even dream it. It wasn't even in my mind. But He sure enough did. And I left what I was doing, which, you know, when you're in a traveling ministry, it's got its problems, it's got its issues, but it's different than pastoring. Am I telling the truth, Brother Brett? It's different than pastoring. There's a lot more freedom. What do you mean? Well, you know, you just go in and bless them and preach and get a love offering, pat the pastor on the back, say, I'm praying for you, brother. See you later. He's living with the sheep. Not that you're bad sheep. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying there's responsibility. There's things that go with it. So, but you know what? Guess what? Not my will. His will be done. Amen. Right? I'm submitted to His will. Not what I want, but what He wants. Amen. If I did what I wanted to in the flesh, I'd still be living up on the hill where we were at when we came here, sitting on the back porch, watching traffic go by down on the highway below us. Amen. I'd still be doing that, but that's not what God said to do. Amen. Are y'all with me now? Yes. See, we can't live our lives without any consideration of the will of God. Jesus didn't live His life without consideration. He said, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father tells me to do. The works that I do, they're the works of the Father. So He wasn't just out there living His life without any consideration of what God thought about it.
Right.
Amen. So you know what I'm saying. And when you're in the will of God, how many know you're in the grace of God?
Yeah.
You're in His favor and blessing. Amen. So here I am, and maybe you don't, most of you may probably don't realize this, but next, this is October. I was asking Ethan if he'd started in college yet, and here we are in October, and I'm thinking it's August. So anyway, I'll catch up with y'all. But here we are, October. Next month is November. Next month, I will have been your pastor for 30 years.
Amen.
That's longer than some of you have been alive. Amen. I was a younger man in those days. You notice how I use that, younger man. In those days, I was younger. I was in my 30s in those days. When and all. But you know what? The will of God's more important to me than what I want to do.
Right.
Come on, are you with me? See, you know, I've heard this over the years. People say, well, whatever God wants you to do, you'll just want to do it. That's not always true. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, and I don't think he wanted to go. Huh? How many got kind of gathered that from that story? How many ever read the book of Jonah before? You know, how many know he went the opposite way. He went to Tarshish, right? And what happened? Great storm came, didn't it? And the boat's about to go under. Notice the Bible said, he went to Tarsus and he paid the fare thereof. He had to pay for it. When you're in God's will, He pays for it. And so he paid the fare thereof. And then he goes, you know, and then he goes to Tarsus, and he doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he doesn't like the Ninevites. Amen. And so he doesn't go, and this storm comes, and I love it. You know, Jonah, the sailors are like, what is going on here? And Jonah goes, it's me. He goes, the only way you're going to make it is if you throw me over. And these were kind of good guys, because they said, no, we don't really want to do that. And after the storm got bad enough, said, well, I guess we will. We got to live. Off he goes. Can you imagine that? Pew, pew. Off he goes. And God prepared a fish. And the fish came and swallowed Jonah up. Didn't it? And he was in the belly of hell, he said, for 3 days. And then he decided, I think I'll do the will of God. I think I'll obey God. That fish came up, spit him out there in Nineveh, where he was supposed to go to start with. I mean, a fish obeyed God.
Yeah.
It went to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Spit Jonah out. And then Jonah, he goes through the city. Can you imagine if you were on the beach and see that? I mean, you know, his clothes are probably halfway dissolved off, you know, from that, well, you know, from the digestive juices, and spits him out. And I don't know if you, but if I'm sitting on the shore there fishing, and a guy gets spit out by a well and says, repent. Like, yes, sir. Absolutely. Anything you say, man. And what happened? He preached the message of repentance, and Nineveh, the king of Nineveh, he put everybody in sackcloth. He made everybody fast. He made the cows fast. Everybody's repenting. And God saw that, and he spared Nineveh. And then Jonah got mad, didn't he? He got mad. Went and got underneath a gourd, a vine. And the Lord said, Jonah, are you doing right being mad? He said, I'm doing right. I'm staying mad. He said, this is exactly why I didn't go, because I knew you'd do this. I knew you'd forgive these people. He didn't want God to forgive them. Amen. So, you know, sometimes our flesh doesn't want to do the will of God. How many know what I'm talking about? Come on, y'all acting really cute and nice like, you know, hey, man, everything God wants me to do, I want to do it. No, sometimes you don't. But but if you're going to have the best in life, you need to obey God. Not what you think is best. Amen. Jesus was that way. Jesus did the will of the Father. Amen. He's our example. Amen. See, look at Matthew. We're going to look at some scripture this morning as we develop this. But let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's see what Jesus himself said about this in Matthew chapter 7. It's real important that we understand we have in our minds that, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but that we don't belong to ourselves any longer. Bob says you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So we don't, you know, people say, well, have you ever heard this is real popular today? Well, it's my body. Ever heard that? Usually it's in line with abortion. And ladies say, it's my body. That's true, it's your body. But the one you're killing is not yours. That's somebody else's body. But really, if you're a Christian, it isn't your body. It belongs to the Lord. He paid for us, spirit, soul, and body. He purchased us with the precious blood of Christ. So it's not my body to do what I want to with it. Amen. Well, Pastor, I mean, he's just always on fire. He's just always spiritual. God talks to him every 30 seconds. And boy, are you deceived. I have the same struggles everybody else does. The same things have to deal with. Do I always want to get up and go to church? No. Sometimes I want to stay in bed. But my body is not ruling me. See, one of the things that was wrong with the church at Corinth is Paul said, your body ruled. In other words, your body rules you. Why is it so quiet in this Presbyterian church? Your body rules you. Right? You know what I'm saying? And see, you can let your body rule you. You don't even realize you're doing it. Just whatever it says or whatever it wants, whatever it feels like, then that's what I do. Amen. Yeah, it was the Lord told me to eat that third piece of chocolate cake. It was the Lord told me to do that. I just had a feeling. Well, that doesn't mean your feeling is from God. You know, that's a dumb song. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. Come on, how many old enough admit you know that song? How many were dumb enough to listen to it? Now, maybe it's better to say, how many were dumb enough to believe it? Right? How many know it can feel right and be wrong? Right to the flesh, that is. Right? The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Only thing is, it's a real short season. It isn't like NASCAR that runs all year long. You know, from February to November. No, it's a short season, man, and it pays bad. How many know that? Sin still produces death. Amen. Now look what Jesus said in this is a rip-roaring passage this morning, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is, how many know this is Jesus talking, our Lord, Savior, right? How many think we should pay attention to this? Yes. All right, notice what he said. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So just because you're calling him Lord doesn't mean you're going to make it. But who's going to make it? He that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. How many know it's pretty important to do his will, right? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils or demons? And in your name done many wonderful works? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, what's the problem here? Well, here's the thing, okay? You can say, Lord, Lord. You might even have some supernatural signs and wonders. But where the rubber meets the road with the Lord is, have you departed from iniquity? That's where the rubber meets the road. Just because somebody says, Lord, Lord, or just because somebody may have some supernatural signs every now and then, that's not the indicator. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. Amen. See, a lot of people get sucked into this. You know, the devil's able to do false signs and wonders, according to the Bible. We had a guy years ago come to the area where I was at, and God, there were some things happen in his ministry that were supernatural, but the guy was not right. It took me a little while to figure out he wasn't right, but after he said a few things, I realized this guy's off. He's not right. He said some things here that's just not right. And then later on, I was with an evangelist friend of mine. We were at a meeting, and we ran into who was then the dean of Rhema Bible College. And my friend, who was an evangelist, he did some ministry with this guy. And so when the dean of Rhema, the guy that wasn't right, my friend was doing some traveling with him. The guy that wasn't right. He didn't know he wasn't right yet. But when we ran into the dean of Rhema, he said to my friend, he mentioned this, that he was with him. And he said, I'd like to forget about that because we'd found out he wasn't right. And the dean of Rhema said, I'm never going to let you forget about it. He said, Brother Hagin threw this guy off the campus. Said he called him into his office and said, you got three spirits in you, and I'll cast them out of you if you'll let me. He said, I don't want you to. He said, well, get off Rhema and don't come back. Leave here. But the guy had, matter of fact, I know a guy that got delivered in his meeting. Well, that confused me as a baby Christian. I asked the Lord about it. The Lord said, well, gifts are not an endorsement of character. Gifts only speak about the giver. He said, the gifts and callings are without repentance. He said, sometimes I give people space to repent. Remember that in the Bible? Jezebel, he gave her space to repent. He said, but eventually it comes out. And eventually it came out, and the guy's ministry fell. How many know, there's a lot in this Bible. You know, when we talk about doing the will of God, it's a wide spectrum. How many know, the will of God's in this book, isn't it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can I have a better amen?
Yes.
The will of God's right here, right? But you know, God can direct you in your everyday life, can't he?
Yes.
Now, well, I don't know about you. I don't hear a voice from heaven saying, hey, go do this, go do that. But I do get it. I do have the Holy Spirit within me.
Amen.
So do you.
Amen.
And I can tell when he's grieved about something.
Amen.
And I can tell when I lose my peace.
Yep.
Let peace be the umpire.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I know that's like God trying to tell me, don't do that. Don't go here. Amen. Are you listening now?
Yeah.
You know, like examples, you know, I mean, if you're going to get married, you better have some peace inside of you.
Right.
Don't just say, well, I'm desperate, Pastor. I'm desperate. I'll take anything. I mean, that's a recipe for trouble.
Right.
Oh, Pastor, I'm telling you, man, he's got a hairy chest. And a gold chain. The chain will tarnish. The chest will drop. He'll have chest of drawers before this is all over with. He's like, I have one friend, he's got a little sagging under there. He said, that used to be my forehead. Now, how do you know? Now, look at young people. Look at me. Look, I'm well preserved. But I used to be a real hunk. My wife married me for my arms. I had muscles.
I was a little more spiritual than that.
She had a few more, yeah. My money? No, it wasn't my money. It wasn't my money. I still have the arms. It's just that bicep up here, it moved down here. All right? So, how many know you got to be a little deeper about things than that, right? You got to seek the will of God. What's God saying to me? Amen? Watch for those red flags, you know. I always tell young people, I said, look, hey, don't just judge it by how they treat you. You want them to treat you nice, but just watch how they treat their family.
Amen.
Watch how they treat their friends they've known for years. Because when they know you for years, that's the way they're going to treat you.
Right.
If they're not nice to other people, they're going to be nice to you once they get used to you.
Right.
I won't even charge you for that. I won't even take up an offering for that, but that's just good. All right, so Jesus said, notice, not everyone. Just because you say Lord doesn't mean he's really your Lord. If he's your Lord, how many know you'll live by the book, right? Therefore, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So how many storms of life are going to come to everybody?
Amen.
Nobody gets a special pass because we have a devil out there, right? We have an enemy. So we all face storms, but whether you're going to stand or you're going to fall depends on what if you're doing the words of Jesus.
Right.
See, anytime my house gets to shaking, talking about my spiritual house, I always look, what am I doing that the Lord told me not to do? Or what am I not doing that he told me to do? Because he said, if I do his sayings, my house will stand. Amen. And you know, I'm not so proud and think I've arrived. You got to keep checking yourself, right? Am I doing the works of Jesus? Am I doing the words of Jesus? Am I doing what he said? Am I in his will? Look, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, pray this. His disciples said, ask him how to pray. One of the first things he said, says, pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's he saying? Pray the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. See, there's a scripture in Colossians 4:12 where Paul named one of his associates, his name was Epaphras. He said, he's praying, laboring fervently for you that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Well, it must not be automatic, right?
Right.
See, you have to seek it. You have to find it. Amen. You know, when the Lord spoke to me to come in this area and start a church, it took me a year and a half before I did it because I kept praying about it. I want to make sure I'm hearing from God. Y'all with me? And then one day at a church, I got a prophetic rebuke from the Lord about dragging my feet. And then I got going. But you know what? Listen to me. I'd rather be behind him than in front of him. I'd rather at least see where he's gone. See, what do you mean you got a rebuke? Well, I got a prophetic word. I was in a church and, you know, this is honest truth before God. I was driving up there. It was a midweek service. I was driving up to this church. I'm praying. Phyllis stayed at home. She was getting us ready. We were going on a meeting, on a trip somewhere, on a meeting, Brother Hagin's camp meeting. And she was getting our stuff ready. And so I'm driving up there, you know, and I'm talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, look, what you're asking me to do here, this is changing my entire ministry. I'm not a pastor. I'm traveling. I like what I'm doing. You're asking me to sell our house and move out of the area. And my wife loves this house. She used to come home with the nights and say, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. And she wasn't talking about me. She's talking about our place. We'd only had it for 2 years. Had 40 trees set up on a hill. She liked it, you know. So I'm going to have to tell Miss Wonderful that we're moving. I'm going to talk to Lord. I said, Lord, I'll tell you what. I'm willing to do whatever he tells me to do, but I need more confirmation than just an afternoon prayer session on a Thursday in April. I get to that meeting. God is my witness. The pastor gets up and says, there's somebody here. You just asked the Lord for more confirmation. I just had 35 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago. Just had. The Lord said to tell you, you don't need any more confirmation. He said to give you Acts 22:16. Acts 22:16 in the King James Bible says, arise, why tarriest thou? Why are you dragging your feet? I guess I turned different colors because when the service is over, the pastor didn't say who it was for. They just said, there's somebody here. But after the service, pastor made a beeline and said, what was that about? You turned different colors. I said, well, we'll have to go out and eat and talk about it, you know. But, it's just best to obey God, right?
That's right.
Amen. It's not automatic. You got to pray. You got to ask God for his will and things. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him. Let him be a part of it, right? He'll direct my paths. Lord, I'd like to have that guy over there with the gold chain, the hairy chest, Tom Selleck hair, nice tan. I'd like to have him. No, I'm talking about people saying that. Women saying that. I got to teach you guys everything. Women saying that. I'd like to have... We don't want me to say that about a woman. You're my woman. I'd like to have him. But you better just submit it to God because he might say he's no good. Right? Remember, I've told you before, I'd rather marry Miss Fruit of the Spirit than Miss Gift of the Spirit. I'd rather marry somebody that I can live with than somebody can get me healed. I'll trust God myself. That's good preaching, Pastor. I know it. Amen. Now, so we've got to make sure we build our house, amen, on the right foundation. Amen. All right. Trying to think where to go to because of our time. I kind of want to get all this out. Let's go to Exodus 21. I think we'll go there. I think it's important we see this. Exodus 21. That our lives aren't, we can't just do what we want to do. I told you years ago, well, not years ago, I think it was maybe this year I talked about it, about a guy that he was always a problem guy in the church. Always was. Not this church, first church I said. He always was a problem guy because he never was happy. You know, he was just... I'd hate to have been his wife, to be honest with you. He just was just not a very happy guy. Well, I didn't really know why. I just thought that was his personality. And one day he had a heart attack, and he's in the emergency room. He's over, I don't remember what hospital it was now, but so I go over there, and his son, too. And so his son tells me, he said, when he came to, I guess he was just out, and they took him to the emergency room. When he came to, he said, the first thing he said when he came to was, Lord, forgive your disobedient servant. First thing he said. Now, on a point like that, you're going to say, what really matters, right? So his son began to tell me, he said, he felt like he was called to the ministry years ago and wouldn't do it. Well, God didn't cause him to have a heart attack, but you open yourself up for the devil. How many know that? You open yourself up for the enemy. And he It's like Jesus said, you build your house on my sayings, you'll stand. You don't, your house will fall. And so that answered a lot of questions to me why this guy was never happy in life. He wasn't happy in life because he was out of the will of God. Amen. So you can think you want something and your flesh may want it, but it's not the best for you. Amen. Is this okay this morning? Look at Exodus 21. Look at this. This is the Lord speaking to Israel. He says, now these are, verse 1, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve you, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Now, he's talking about Hebrew servants, their own people. Now, the reason why this would happen is sometimes, like if a Hebrew maybe got into debt, they could be sold into slavery to pay the debt. Sometimes parents would sell their kids because of that. I got a reaction from Aaron. He's like, oh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. You're safe, Aaron. You're safe. Praise the Lord. But how many parents, never mind. How many parents ever felt like that? You know, it's like there in Kings when the woman told the prophet, you know, my son did serve the Lord and the creditors come to take my son to be bondsmen. It's like they're repossessing the kids instead of the car. Yeah. How many parents are like, I'm okay with that. Praise the Lord. They'll bring them back. All right. But what happened was a Hebrew could like maybe fall into hard times and they could be sold into slavery. Parents would sell their kids into slavery, their sons. You know, things could happen and they went into slavery. But God said that's only for 6 years. The seventh year they get out. Verse 3, if he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, she's borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door and under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him. So this is a guy that could be free, but he said, I don't want to be. So the master takes him, and you know what an awl is? It's a pointed instrument, and pierces his ear. How do you know? This is going to hurt the flesh. He didn't like to. I don't know how people get their ears pierced today. I don't know. But I remember watching my sister get her ears pierced as a kid, when I was a kid. It was rudiment in those days. Yeah. What do they do now? Do they give them a shot? They numb it? Huh?
Like a piercing gun.
They have a gun? And then no numbing or nothing, but... Does it hurt?
Yes.
Why don't y'all just get the clip-on stuff or something? I mean, why would you do? I mean, I don't do pain. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, a few years ago, the doctor did something to me. I said, that is never happening again. You ain't never going there again. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening, bro. All right? There are some things I'll trust God for, okay? Before I let that happen. All right, but I remember watching it, and I think it was my mother that was doing it, and she would put a piece of ice on there to freeze it, and then it was painful. Look at Mason. Mason, look at me like, my gosh, your family was savages. How many understand that this costs the flesh, doesn't it? But he wanted to be. He chose to be a servant. Now, there's a term for this. It's called bondservant. Anybody ever heard that? All right, what a bondservant is, basically, is somebody who could be free, but they've chosen not to be. They've chosen to stay. See, when Paul referred to himself, he told the church at Rome, he said, Paul, a servant of God. That's the way the King James has it. You look in the New King James, and it puts it bondservant, because that's what it really is. It's a bondservant. In other words, Paul says, Jesus Christ set me free, but I've chosen to stay and be a servant. How many know in position, we're sons and daughters. But we should choose to serve the Lord. Right? And 10 verses later, Paul is talking to the church at Rome. He said, if I can find a way, this is the way the New King James says it, if I can find a way in the will of God to come to you, I'm not coming to you unless I can find a way in the will of God to come to you. It's got to be God's will for me to come to Rome. Amen. Which he did. He came. And he found a way in the will of God. Amen. It wasn't the easiest way, but he got over there. I mean, they got arrested and sent over to Rome. All right. So this is a bondservant. In other words, you could be free, but you choose not to be. This is what we are in Christ. We're bondservants. Amen. Now, I want to look at one or two more scriptures real quickly here. I won't want to go too long, but I want to preach this out as I don't want to do a two-part here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Come on, are you getting something this morning? Amen. Romans chapter 12. Let me show you. Paul gives us the qualifications for a servant. Now, you know, a servant, what is a servant's job? A servant's job is to do the will of his master. Right? Think about just the employer-employee situation. You know, you get hired on a job. There's somebody there to tell you what to do. You don't just do what you want to do. You don't get hired in the office and the boss says, hey, would you put this file away? I'm tired. I already put 3 files away this morning. It's not even 9 o'clock. How many know you're not going to be there long? Well, I don't know today. Today's kind of strange. I still haven't got anybody answer me this question because, you know, I'll have businesses tell me, we just can't find anybody to work. I mean, even today, there's jobs that pay good money. When I was a young man, we would have jumped at those jobs. Are you kidding me? We didn't have jobs like that. We just, minimum wage stuff was all that was available in those days. A little bit over minimum wage maybe, but you know what I'm saying? We were working in the factories, the wood factories, the rubber plants. You know what I'm saying? How many are with me on that? And then today you hear jobs paying $30 an hour and they can't get anybody to work. I'm saying, what? And I've asked people this and nobody can seem to answer. Where do these people get their money? It must be from us. I'm trying to figure out, how do you do this? How do you just quit working and you live? I don't know how you do it. I've got to learn from one of these guys. Praise God. How do you do this? How does this work? How many know that's not God's plan, is it? Amen. He said you don't work. Remember what Pastor Ingolf said? The more you work, the more you should eat. Get to eat, right? I thought that was good. Amen. Romans 12, you there? Forgive me for today's message, but it's it, man. This is it. Are you ready? Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of all the mercy God has shown us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or just your, the word reasonable means you're rational. It's just rational that if God, in his mercy, redeemed you, you should put your body in service for him. And some use the word worship. It's part of our worship. You know, we think about worship like what we did this morning, which I thought it was great this morning. That's worship. But the way we live our lives is also worship to the Lord. See. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test, or you might experience or taste what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. How many of you got to taste and see the Lord is good? Right? See, you know, like yesterday, you taste some of that food, man. You find, ooh, this was a little special here. I'll go back and get another one of those. One thing, I went back, I got 3 of them. 3. Well, Phyllis gave me part of hers, but anyway, I ate it. But, you know, you taste it. It's good, man. See, what's he saying? How many know the job of a slave is to do 2 things? Number 1, present your body and renew your mind. Listen, you know what I'm saying? If you have someone, let's go back to the days when we saw slaves. How many know their body wasn't theirs, was it? No. It was maybe their master bought them. See, he bought them. He bought them at an auction. He bought them. They're there to work for him. And they're not there to do their own thing. They're to renew their mind the way he's thinking.
Yes.
Right? I mean, just think about it. Let's look at it this way. Let's just suppose you hire somebody to do something for you. How many know you're actually purchasing for a period of time their mind and their body? It's going to service for you, right?
Yes.
Their mind's going to... You hire somebody to paint the inside of your house. You say, hey, I want the walls gray. All right? You come home after work and they're yellow. And you say, why are the walls yellow? I ask you to paint them gray. And they say, I just don't care for gray. I just didn't think it looked good in your house. How many know they are what? What? Come on. Come on, apprentice. What are they?
You're fired.
Why? Because you're not a good servant. Amen. But when we... Now listen, when we present our minds, when we present our bodies and renew our minds, we get to taste what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. We get to taste it, experience it. Go to John chapter 11. Go there. Come on, did you get something today? I'm closing right here. All right. So doing His will is imperative to our lives. If we want His best... You know, God will let you do whatever you choose to do. God will let you go to hell if you want to go. How many know that? He'll let you do whatever you want to do. But it's your choice now. You got to remember that. It's your choice. But if you want His best, you need to get in. You need to consider His will for your life. Amen. John chapter 11. I want to show you this, and we'll close out here. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he, or Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. How many think the reason Jesus stayed 2 days was because he was supposed to stay 2 days? Remember what he said? I only do what I see my Father do. So he stays 2 days. Now, at this point, Lazarus isn't sick. He's dead. Verse 7. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go again into Judea. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered. Now listen, sometimes Jesus' answers to his disciples didn't make sense to them. Here's one of those. You know what I'm saying? It just kind of went, chew. It had a spiritual meaning, but they didn't catch it. Jesus answered. So they asked him, all right, you're going back to Judea, and they were there. They were going to stone us the last time we were there, and you're going back? I mean, unless you've heard from God, that's not a smart plan.
Right.
I mean, you need to hear from God, right?
Right.
It's like Brother Hagin told Raymond students one time. I love hearing him say this. He was talking about Paul fleeing from certain cities. He said, now some of you Raymond students would have said, they can't touch me over there. God's my defense. God's my shield. They can't touch me. He said, y'all would have died there. Because there's a time to stay and there's a time to run. You better listen to God. Amen. And Paul fled because it was time to go. He didn't have a word to stay. But Jesus here, they're asking, now, Lord, you don't want to go back here again because they were going to stone you. Jesus answered, verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles. He stumbles because there's no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus is asleep. But let's go, and I'll wake him up. Praise God. Don't you love Jesus? He knew he was dead. How many know that? But he said, hey, he's sleeping. I'm going to go wake him up. Amen. Now listen. His answer to them at face value probably didn't make any sense to them. They said, you're not going to go to Judea again. They were going to stone you. He said, well, if you walk in the day, you don't stumble. But if you walk in the night, you'll stumble. And they're like, what's this got to do with anything? Walking in the day. You mean we're going to travel there in the daylight, not travel in the nighttime? Okay, all right. No, here's what he's saying. If you're, how many know, walking in God's will is walking in the light. Walking out of His will is walking in the darkness. If you're in the will of God, no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, you're in the light. You're walking in the daytime. You're not going to stumble. God's going to keep you. I heard a minister say one time, I think it was his first time he'd ever been out of the country, first time on a mission trip. He said, I get over in this country. He said, I'm with this group. And there's this leader. There's the leader of the group, you know, that went over the mission team. He said, we get over in this, and I don't remember where it was now, but he said, we get over in this area and civil war breaks out in that country. And he said, they are shooting in the streets. They are shooting one. He said, the compound where we were at was being hit with bullets. He said, the leader of this group calls us all together. He said, how many of you believe God sent you here? How many think God's, oh yeah, He sent me here. How many aren't sure? If you aren't sure and you don't know, go home. Go home. But if you know God sent you here, this is the safest place for you to be because you're in the center of His will. Amen. So the even though it doesn't look like it, if God said, stay there, that's the best place for you to be. That's what Jesus was saying. How many follow what I'm saying here? That's what He was saying. Look, He said, right now, I need to go back to Judea because it's the will of God for me to go there and raise our friend Lazarus up. So I don't care what the Jews did of late. They can't touch me because I'm walking in the day and I'm not going to stumble. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
So the safest place to be is in the will of God. Amen. Right where He puts you. Well, you say, well, people have been in the will of God and died. Well, praise God, they went to heaven. They were martyrs for the gospel's sake. But that's not for most of us. Amen. Come on, are y'all with me? So we have to come back to this. Am I in the will of God? If you're in the will of God, man, you're good. You're safe. Remember Paul, and I'll close with this. Paul, one time, things got stirred up in Corinth, and the Lord appeared to him in Acts, and he said, be of good cheer, Paul. Don't be afraid. I have much people in this city. In other words, you're good. It looks bad, but you're good. How many know right now in our society, it looks bad, but if we're in the will of God, we good. I said, we good. Hallelujah. We good. I always check, Lord, am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to go there? If you got anything to say, let me know, and I won't go. Amen. Even in the Bible, and I preached a long time, and I'm sorry, but I apologize. But I even in the Bible, one time, there's a story in Genesis 26 where Isaac was in a land of famine. Famine came to the land, and he was getting ready to go down to Egypt. He was going to leave because that's what Abraham did. Abraham was in the same land. Famine came. His father Abraham went down to Egypt. All right? To escape the famine. Well, Isaac's there, same area. Famine hits. He's getting ready to go down to Egypt. And the Lord said, don't go down to Egypt. Don't do it. Stay right here. I'll bless you here. The Bible says he stayed put and he sold in that land and that same year got 100-fold.
Yes.
In the famine, got 100-fold. Why? Because that's what God said do. Amen. Let's all stand up. See, he was better off staying in the famine than going to a land of plenty. With Abraham, it was different. He was better off going to the land of plenty than staying in the famine. That's why we got to be in the will of God. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.